the voice of the Salukis here in our studios on In the Doghouse. Mike Reese, welcome.
Thank you, Paxton. Hi, Murph.
Hey.
Javon is fun. Javon is, he's fun to watch play, isn't he?
Is he a revelation for you, or do you think this was coming?
It looked like he was good last year. In fact, I think the game kind of overwhelmed him last year academically, as well as the requirements on the field. And so he asked to redshirt, which was a bit of a surprise. And, of course, last year was the first year where you could play four games and still redshirt.
Yeah.
And he took advantage of it, and it seemed like he needed it, and it was his idea to do it. And so, but you could tell just because of his physical size that he was going to be a player. Now, would he be a quarterback? You know, would he be a running back? That sort of stuff. And it'll be interesting to talk with Nick Hill later this week. They were a two-quarterback team last time out against Arkansas State. Williams just didn't run Wildcat. There were plays where Lyles was not in the game, and so, and I think Williams even went directly under center a couple of times. And certainly we saw in the Martin game he can throw the ball. So it'll be interesting to see if it was just Arkansas State where it was a two-quarterback game, or if this is a thing now for some.
You know, the fun part about him is, and I saw him play basketball for Centralia in the South 7, he is just a gifted athlete, and he's in the sport of football, but he can do a lot of things. He's big, strong, fast, and he's got great balance. So, I mean, some of the things that he's doing has to be, and I get a kick out of, and is this new? Because, you know, I've listened for a long time, but these little just back time we're talking about, that these little inserts that Gene does, it's exciting because, you know, you're calling the play, and he's like, wow.
Gene's inserts.
Yeah.
Well, those are recorded.
Okay. All right. I thought you'd hold
Paxton
up.
A, just pushes a button.
You just hold up a core. But
we're not that well timed.
It reminds me of the old, you know, Bill White days and the Big Red and all that stuff. But it's an exciting broadcast to listen to, and you can tell that you guys are really jacked when he gets the ball because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's fun. And well, he's just fun to watch play. And of course, he was also the MVP of the South 7 Basketball Conference, right?
Yep.
2 years ago. So here's a multi-sport kid. It's paying off. It shows in football that he has played other sports. I suspect if he played baseball, he had a good arm. And now the true test is going to be in the league, not because of the competition, which is very good, but because of the study that will go into it. Arkansas State didn't study him as much as South Dakota State has already studied him. In one day, they've studied him more than Arkansas State did all week, not because ASU didn't respect, but because there's enough film out there now, enough video out there of Javon, that teams will have something. So will he adjust? Will Southern adjust? That's all part of the give and take of the season, and that'll be the question for both of them. He's done it well the first third of the season, so what's going to happen the last two-thirds when he's more of a known commodity?
Yeah.
Caray Lyles, not as known of a commodity, but he's the QB for now until, you know, we figure out if Stone Labanowitz is truly gone long-term. DJ Davis probably still on another 3 weeks at minimum.
Yeah.
Javon's role might change. Ramir Elliott maybe getting a little more involved. So even of the film that other teams have seen, I don't know if Southern knows exactly what it's going to look like
now,
in his first few
games. It looks like, Paxton, that Southern is evolving offensively. It's certainly a different offensive team 4 weeks in game four than it was game one. I find it interesting. Nick Hill does not find it interesting that he's a run first. He's a power run first coach now.
Yeah.
Nick Hill, when he coached Carbondale High School, I saw one game and it looked like he was running a video game. It looked exactly like I thought he would look as a coach.
Sure.
He loved the offensive side of the ball and still does. And he coached Southern that way, or he called plays that way. And Southern may have been run first under Nick as an offensive coordinator and as a head coach. Mark Iannotti ran a lot, but it was a quarterback run first offense. But they haven't been the power run between the tackle that they've been. And you can count on them running on first down. You can count on them running on second down and making significant yards. And so third down is better. It's interesting to watch him evolve as a coach. As for Lyles, the job's there you know, Southern doesn't want to change quarterbacks again, right. Fellas. I mean, if Stone Labanowitz comes back, it's because Lyle and starts. It, unfortunately for Stone, will be because Lyle's wasn't clearly the guy. And so you never know. I mean, if they can play two with Williams and Lyles now, mm-hmm. they can play two with Labanowitz. And there just seems to be, my original thought was, or train of thought on this was, that Southern seems to be evolving. Whereas the last few years, we seem to have seen all that Southern had offensively mm-hmm. the first few weeks. We don't see that now. And a lot of it has to do with depth at running back.
Yeah, and love is out of necessity, but again, mm-hmm. you know, when we asked, when we talked to Blake Rowland, we say, hey, who's your pick to click? He said, I'd like to get Avante Cox a little more involved, and yeah. sure enough, last couple of games, he's definitely been involved. 2-2 after the pre-conference schedule. Could have easily had two wins over FBS programs yeah. if the ball goes a different way. Is that about right for you?
I think so. And for many people, it's one more win than everybody figured they would get. Now, UMass is not good. And they will prove that as the weeks go on. And I think they would finish last in the Missouri Valley. But Southern hadn't proven that they could whip those teams. And so I think that that's a check in their favor. But what's about to come is a lot different, including this team Saturday.
Yeah.
Southern was not competitive with this team the last 2 years. And the last 3 years, they've given up, I believe, 44 or 45 points or more in every game. They have been able to score in two out of the 3 years. So this will give us a good indication of Southern's ability, especially to stop the run. South Dakota State is not as talented at quarterback, certainly not as experienced a quarterback as it was with Taryn Christian, who threw for 11 touchdown passes in three games against Southern the last 3 years.
Glad he's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. But they have two really good running backs. And Southern's run defense will be severely tested. And as we saw in the league last year, Southern had a severe problem against mm-hmm. the run game. And that's a big reason why they overhauled the defensive coaching staff. And now is when those guys start to show whether they're different than what they have.
How important is getting Chin back in that run-stopping defense?
Well, not so much for the run. Quay Brown is probably more important than the run, but I think you saw against Arkansas State, which had three terrific receivers, mm-hmm. and Southern won't see three total like the three they saw in that one game. But with Chin limited in the Arkansas State game, Arkansas State could go deep.
Right.
And they could throw it well enough, not an especially talented quarterback, but a guy who could throw it when the guy was there. And that's what happened with Chin. So Chin in protecting the big play. Now, where he helps against the run, Murph, is he can shut down the big play. And he didn't play the last couple of games last year, including, I believe, this game last year. And they ran for 300 yards, and they had big play after big play. And he helps stop that. He's not up there like Quay Brown, though, stopping it within 10 yards.
Jackrabbit 17th in the country, 242.5 yards a game. They give up 88 on the ground per game. That's 13th in the country. And overall, they're the 8th best defense in FCS, giving up 269 yards of a total offense per game. So John Stiegelmeyer is going to have this defense ready coming up on Saturday. Third down conversions, I've got some third down stats here. Southern, third in the league right now. Converting, well, actually, take that back, tied for second with Youngstown State converting 50% on third down. As a defense, though, they are 7th as far as allowing third down conversions, 36% of the time. But those third down numbers on offense, encouraging, and no one's went for it more on fourth down than Southern. 9 times, I think, 4 for 9 on fourth down.
Yeah,
but there was a Nick Hill tendency, they're going to go for it on fourth.
Well, and I think Nick might wish now that number was 7 and not 9. After two of them at Arkansas State. I don't know, though. He feels very – part of the numbers that are up this year include the third down conversion number, Paxton, and that number is better this year versus last year because they're facing second and a much shorter more often than they were a year ago. A year ago, first down, they were not as good as they are this year. And so that has a lot to do with being able to run between the tackles. Southern really couldn't do that last year. And that's what I mean by a step in a different direction for Nick Hill and his maturation as a coach. I've seen him mature. He's a much different head coach now than he was 4 years ago, and it has to do with play calling. I think also what's helping him on play calling, which is showing some gains in terms of stats, is the fact that he can concentrate more on play calling.
Yeah.
He had to coach the quarterbacks last year. He had to run the offense, and so he's divvied up those responsibilities, and I think that's paying off for him, and as well as a different focus on some things. He's got some different people who are talking to him among his assistants, and so that makes a difference too.
I was going to ask you the distraction. We talked a little bit about that. One of the team captains, and when that happens and it's on a bye week, and we all know sometimes that crazy things happen on a bye week.
Sure.
And so now, you know, this distraction. But really, I think, and you just mentioned it, the maturation process, I think Nick's at a position now where he handles even this a little bit better than he might have several years ago. Yeah. You think?
He shut Blake Parsich down right away. I don't know if the end result is the same, Merv, but I think what is different now is he shut it down right away.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, probably, and the listeners know mostly from guys in the NFL who get into trouble.
Yeah.
The better players get the longest leash. And maybe earlier in Nick's career, a guy would get a longer leash. I'm thinking of Daquan Isom a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you give them a longer leash because you don't have much else.
Yeah.
And Southern's pretty good on the front seven. There are people other than Blake Parsich to play. I know, I have a good feeling, rather, secondhand, that this bothers Hill a lot, because Parsich, this is his first year as a captain, and they thought he had earned that spot. And you never want to hear that your captain is suspended after he's been arrested and charged with two misdemeanors. And so you take that personally as a coach, and Hill really takes that stuff personally as a coach, because he's still pretty close to these guys' age.
Yeah.
He wants to be respected, but he also likes... you know, he's close enough to their age where he feels close to them from that standpoint. And so I know this one was a gut punch to him. And Parsich is a good player. And Hill said today, he said all the right things in their first meeting since the incident. So we'll see if he returns this year.
Awaiting the snap, it's back as he has it. He rolls right, powers right, looking to the end zone, looking, stringing it out, throwing, passes tipped in the air, intercepted by Chin, tiptoeing the boundary, and falls down. They signal it's a touchback, and it's Saluki ball. Jeremy Chin got another pick, and it came on third down and 8, his 11th of his career.
It was a biggie against UT Martin. Mike Reese on the call. Got the voice of the Salukis in the studio tonight here on In the Doghouse. Jeremy Chin could be Southern's next player playing on Sunday next season. What do you think his pro prospects are?
Well, they're very good, and I hear that they become excellent if he lasts the whole season, because he hasn't lasted the whole season. Mm-hmm. There's always been one injury that has messed it up, and it's cost him a couple games. And from what I hear, most of which is from people connected with Southern, that the scouts who've, by the time we get to mid-October, all the NFL teams will have been into Carbondale to see him. They say he can all play. They all say he can play. The issue is, will he be there to play?
Stay on the field.
And
yeah.
So if he will get drafted, if he misses some games, then it probably knocks him into a mid-range or lower, simply because of that, simply because of the money involved. Mm-hmm. They're not going to, the money's in the first three rounds?
Yeah.
If not just the first two rounds. And so they're not going to commit that. He's that type of talent. He's a first two round type player. And so that's why, you know, as he battles this foot injury, and they're just going to have to manage it, it sounds like, from what Hill has said the last couple of days, they're just going to have to manage it in terms of his practice time and to keep him healthy and keep him on the field. It's not that he would benefit from one of the knee-jerk reactions that I had was, you know what, if he's going to be hurt and he's got this much at stake, maybe he ought to just shut the thing down.
That's what I thought.
Now, First of all, Southern's lucky he's still here and hasn't transferred, mm-hmm. because you have how many talented players stay at this level when you're losing?
Right.
So, but he has stayed. He is that type of kid. And I wish one of the reasons why I wish SIU football was a lot more popular with more people on a day-to-day basis, or at least as popular with fans, is because there's so many interesting players on the squad, and Chin is really one of them. I'm not sure he's seen the other side at 10 o'clock at night in a long, long time, wow. including high school. He is that into the game. Cray Lyles is the same way today. I ran into him at 7:30 this morning, and he had finished watching a video.
Wow, you were just getting in?
I was just getting in, yeah. No, I wasn't leaving at 7:30 this morning. I have a good job, but it's not that good. Chin is that type of person. But so I think Southern's lucky he didn't transfer, and it's a testament to him, if you believe in that, because he certainly wouldn't be out of the ordinary to transfer. The other thing, back to the original point, my first reaction is he ought to shut the thing down. You're seeing players do that all the time now, at every level. But that would not help him, I'm told, because teams want to see him play through the season. They know he's tough enough to do it, mm-hmm. but will his body allow him to do that? Mm-hmm. And so he spends a lot of time on conditioning and all of those things, and Southern is much better at that, the conditioning and the nutrition part of that, especially the nutrition part, which plays a role in whether or not you're durable. And so that's why I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of the year plays out for Chin. He is vital for the club, and it's vital to him personally that he play these last eight games.
Dogs at South Dakota State, 2 o'clock Saturday, 1 o'clock pregame with Mike Reese, Gene Green, and Connor James on 101.5 CILFM. The Jackrabbits ranked third in both polls after today. North Dakota State, they are at Illinois State coming up this Saturday at noon. Redbirds 6 in one poll, 14 in another. Some of that might have to do with the fact the Redbirds are very banged up right now. They've already lost two starting wide receivers to season-ending injuries. They've got a third out indefinitely with a broken collarbone, starting guard Gabe Meganson, season-ending and potentially career-threatening back injury. He's out as well. But they've got James Robinson. We're probably going to see a lot of him against North Dakota State. 10 Illinois players on the Bison this year. Then you got Youngstown State, rather, is at Northern Iowa. So that, I don't want to say elimination game for the Valley opener, but, you know, the loser of NDSU and Illinois State and Youngstown in Northern Iowa, they're going to drop a notch and probably out of a top eight seed, you got to think.
Won't win the league.
Yeah.
So, and one loss frequently won't, because who's going to expect North Dakota State to lose one, let alone two?
Yeah. So, and then you got Indiana State at South Dakota. Indiana State, they lost their starting quarterback, Ryan Boyle, the Iowa transfer, to a knee injury last weekend against Eastern Illinois. So, Curtis Wilderman, great name, Evansville native. He's the starter now for the Sycamores. Then you got Missouri State and Western Illinois bringing up the rear. But the way this schedule plays out, next week, of course, we've got Illinois State. Youngstown, I want to say, has South Dakota State the following week. And North Dakota State is, who are they playing the following week? I believe Northern Iowa. So in the first 2 weeks, you've got potential, dare I say, elimination games for some of these teams right off the bat. It's set up very well if you're North Dakota State and South Dakota State, less so for those other teams.
Yeah. And October, at least for the Salukis, has been the defining month. It hasn't come down to November in a while. And so, as a consequence, Southern hasn't played. And if the November games don't matter, it's because you're not good enough in October. And those three that Southern has right out of the chute are incredibly strong. And in this year of a horse bleep schedule that the Salukis have, they are fortunate that two of those three are at home in Illinois State and Youngstown State coming up in a couple weeks.
Brian McLaughlin from Hero Sports actually has Southern projected to be one of the last three in of his playoff bracket.
Right?
And then Sam Herder, who's also at Hero Sports, has Southern as one of the last three out. So at least they're thinking that game against North Dakota State to finish up the season is going to matter. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens against Illinois State. And obviously, beating South Dakota State in Brookings would be a massive get, and it would vault Southern right into this conversation.
Yeah, and it I don't. I'm not going to say that Southern would be a favorite or anything like that. South Dakota State's going to have to take them lightly, but that has happened before. And the thing about South Dakota State is, though, fellas, they are about winning now. Southern's just not playing a good team. Southern's playing a really good winning program. They stumbled maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, but their act is together. They're well funded. They're not overwhelmingly well funded. They have facilities much like SIU's. In fact, their stadium is a carbon copy, except it's just a tad bigger. And so it's impressive. This Southern is up against a program just on the heels of North Dakota State.
Yeah, and would they have a chip on their shoulder? Because Bax and I have talked about, if it wasn't for the Bison, these guys would probably be filling up their trophy case, and they probably just those guys.
Yeah, and their coach says he won't quit till they win a championship. Yeah. And he's an older Stickelmeyer's been around for a while. I think he's 61.
He's in a wheelchair through the week.
Yeah, is he really?
I don't know. Just throw stuff in.
Doesn't mean all of us in our 60s are in a wheelchair during the week.
It's just a chair with wheels. I can move around in my chair. It's not a real wheelchair. That's what I meant. But he just has a nice chair in his office.
To that point, though, if you watch a John Stiegelmeyer press conference, he's splitting hairs up there. And he's saying, well, we need to work on this, that, and the other. And if that's other schools, you're thinking, well, wow, that's all we had to work on. Uh-huh. But, I mean, that's where they're at as a program right now. They're chasing their own excellence.
It'll be interesting to watch the league this year, fellas, because it appears like with the likes of North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Illinois State, it appears. Youngstown looks like it's strong, although let's see them do it in the league. They've looked good at this point. Before, and Northern Iowa looks good. The top half of the league is good. The bottom half of the league is not as good. And maybe Southern will be the one that takes advantage of that. And those people that have Southern right on the cusp, Paxton, that may be what they're looking at. Some of these other teams have been better and have been in the bottom half of the league simply because they haven't been the top, because they just haven't been as good, but they've played competitive games with the upper division. I don't know that we're going to see as many competitive games when you have one play eight or two play seven, those sorts of things. Now, and I'm talking about, when I say seven, I mean the preseason polls. Yeah. But it appears that because even though Southern's played a bad schedule, it's been tested. And it looks to a lot of people like Southern might be the best of that bottom group. And then if you can slip in at five, mm-hmm. in many years, the Valley is worthy of five teams. And so if you can get to six wins, get to seven wins, and then maybe you're
knocking.
That's awfully hard. I mean, Southern's been at the two-win mark. And you say, well, geez, Reese, they're just trying to go from two to four wins. What the hell? But it is terrifically difficult to do that, and maybe this is the year Southern does something like that, in part because Rich Herron used to say it all the time, doesn't matter so much about your team, it matters about the team you're playing.
That's right. That's right.
Gang. Yep. So maybe that's part of it, too.
Speaking about basketball, you mentioned Rich Herron, the Media Valley Day, and now Coach Mullins finally gets to do some coaching. And they had a video of the first practice, and he has some very experienced, and we've talked about this before, it's very important to have very experienced guys in that backcourt.
Yeah. Well, it starts with McGill and Cook, and that gives them a good start. It'll be interesting in the post. I think people will like, personally, Benson from Northwestern. I think he'll be impressive to people. Siku Dembele's injury was significant, so much so that they brought in the 6'11 guy from Serbia, who they were not going to use the last scholarship until Dembele got hurt. And we'll see when Siku is back. I think Siku has a future. But they needed another practice player at the very least, and that's what the guy from Serbia will be. It's interesting to watch them practice. It's a different squad. Obviously, it's a different coach. You can tell that it's different before you even look at who's playing. It's they're different sort of practices. Mullins coaches practice like he played. Practice was important to him.
Wow,
he is intense. He's not there to have fun. It's a young coaching staff, but it is an intense, locked-in coaching staff. I think that, and I always look in these situations to see what the older players, and they only have four returning players, mm-hmm. Cook and McGill and Gooch and Dembele. And Dembele's not practicing right now. So you look at the other three, and they seem to be paying attention. You look for that first. Is there eye contact? Are they listening? Are they looking to the side? I saw looking to the side last year. I don't see that this year when they're being instructed. And so and I've said it on and off the air. I mean it. This doesn't guarantee that Mullins will win. But if he's not a fit to coach SIU basketball, nobody is.
Yeah.
Now, he's still got to get good enough players, and he's got to be good enough in the game and all of those things. And they have to play well, and he has to get them ready to play. And he's a young coach. He's going to make mistakes. It's interesting to watch practice, and they shoot the ball well. Now, the asterisk to that is, if they're shooting the ball well, are they being guarded well? Mm-hmm. Saw Southern shoot the ball well in practice last year,
sure.
And then they got in the game, and 33% was really good from three.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're better. Damask can shoot. It looks like they've got some guys, but we'll see. It's kind of exciting. And
yeah.
And it starts 3 weeks from tomorrow.
With Mullins being the type of player he was, and a backcourt, hard-nosed Sergeant Rock type guy, then you know the two guards that SIU has, veterans, seniors. Mm-hmm. He's going to look to them. They're going to look to. I mean, I see this young vibe type thing that they might not have thought about with an older coach that they might see. With a younger coach like Mullins, who's that not that far from their age.
Yeah, he needs Cook and McGill to play and be cut in and all of those things. Normally, when you're a first-year coach, you seem to see all of the faults and really don't see the strengths as brightly or clearly, if that makes sense, of the players you inherited. One of the tests for a new coach is, all the previous players suck, and my players, the ones I recruited, are the best.
Right.
And the coaches that deal with that the best are the ones that succeed. He needs McGill and Cook to play.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, he's gone out of his way, as I look at it, to make sure that they're comfortable, make sure that they are happy, make sure that they are confident. Both of them have confidence issues.
Yeah.
Though Cook expresses himself more confidently than Eric does, they both seem to derive their confidence in different ways. And so Brian doesn't seem to be operating from the standpoint that when I get my guys in here, he's, and he could easily do that. He's got a 6-year contract now. He got another year when Kill left,
right,
because he had it written in his contract that if Kill left before a certain date, he would get another year. Well, he hasn't even coached a game yet, and Kill's gone. So obviously, he's reached that he's reached that date, and so he's got plenty of reason to just say the heck with. But you know, he's also got so few older guys too,
right,
or a few inherited players.
Yeah.
If he blew off those guys and didn't put them in positions where they feel like they can succeed, even though they have no attachment to this current coaching staff. Then he's got a team of all new guys, and then he's probably got a harder.
But you know, Brian, he's not going to blow off anything.
No, he's not that type of. No, he's not that type of guy. He's his practices certainly are impressive, and they had a coaching clinic, and IBCA had a coaching clinic, and he and Kyle Smith-Peters had a good crowd of coaches. They said it's one of the best for those caravans they've seen for a long time. Locked in on them, and he explains the game well. Mullins does. They both do. But in Southern's case, Mullins does an excellent job of communicating to players. He can do it briefly. And in today's world, I think you better be able to say it concisely or you'll lose players.
And, right.
And so there's a lot of positives. I think people will start to see a trend and a lot of common ground with the players that he signs, at least character-wise and in their abilities. I met one of the recruits this past weekend, and he fits in a because they're going to have a lot of scholarships, and he fits in a profile that a lot of other the recruits that I've met have changed. So we'll see. We'll see how it works. We'll see how the fans react, and how well they play early and those sorts of things.
October 22nd, Minnesota State coming to town. That's, what, 23 days away? Something like that? It's going to be here before
21 days from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's October 1,
yep.
Right?
We've talked out the Jerry Kill.
We'll broadcast that game, too. Well,
I hope so.
Yeah, no okay. TV of that game.
Okay.
Radio only.
We've pretty much talked out Jerry Kill's exit. Do you have a thought as to life?
Yeah, but we'll bring it in.
Do you have a thought, life after Kill, for SIU athletics? Are we in good shape? Will we get over it? Obviously, you can't replace Kill, the personality. Did he do enough? What's the state of SIU athletics post Kill?
Nope,
as you see it?
Nobody's irreplaceable. Jerry Kill isn't irreplaceable. Mike Reese isn't irreplaceable. Nobody is. Brian Mullins isn't irreplaceable. There's momentary shock. And there was momentary shock with Kill. And I do think that moment might be longer with him. But there's no reason that that Southern can't recover. Liz Jarnigan knows what she's doing, and a lot of the successes that Kill had in fixing things happened with Jarnigan's information. And they were an excellent team. That's one of the major reasons why I'm disappointed the Kill left, especially at this time, because they were a good team. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was still more to do, ironically, because of the things that still had to be done, things that Kill thought were huge mountains and questioned whether he could cross them, that he decided to move. But I would have liked to seen them work together longer, and that grooms her more. The thing internally, Southern is extremely solid in terms of running all of the things internally, the most important being student welfare, APR, Title IX, things that SIU's had issues with in the recent past. Those things are solid, and Jarnigan has everything to do with it. Outside, though, nobody knows her, and nobody knows what she can do in the most important areas to them, which are the external. And so how that develops, how she forms her team, will be critical of that. Who's doing the fundraising?
Yeah.
Who's in the development side? Is she the external front person? Is she the internal front person? That can work, too. Who's her alter ego if she needs an alter ego? Mm-hmm. Those are the questions about the future, Paxton, back to your original point. But she's entirely capable. Kill leaving when he did puts Southern in a bind. There's no other way to put it, and without beating the issue to death, it puts Southern in a bind. If he makes the move in March or after this academic year, then I think it's a different thing. But the whole thing's kind of sped up a little bit, and so some people maybe in lesser roles, beginning with Jarnigan, who now move to featured roles, mm-hmm. now have to deliver maybe a little bit sooner than they expected even themselves.
Next person up, they say.
That's exactly right. DJ Davis is hurt.
Yeah.
Kill leaves, Jarnigan's up. The people that work with her have different roles and more significant roles. Plus, she has to tweak. She did, a lot of it is probably not of interest to 99% of the people, but Southern was teetering administratively. That's why they added soccer. And because soccer got messed up late is one of the reasons why Southern changed athletic directors. Note that how late Grant Williams was hired.
Mm-hmm.
Southern was fighting with the OCR. Southern was fighting with Title IX. Southern had AP. Southern had a million issues mm-hmm. that never moved to the point where the people would notice.
Right.
And the people notice when you have to play fewer games, you can't do certain things, you can't play postseason.
But Jerry Southern and was Jarnigan right on kept the some of those.
Well, yeah, and
taken
Kill,
care of.
Kill got Jarnigan in to help him with that
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm saying they're a great team.
Yep.
They were a great team.
Well, and I think a lot of people needed to hear Mike Reese say that.
Sure.
I mean, we could say it as much as we want, but Mike Reese, who we like to think is more of an insider in these matters than we are, if he says it, then it's good enough for me. We'll wrap up this edition of In the Doghouse after this on 103.5 ESPN. Back on this edition of In the Doghouse on 103.5 ESPN, I want to thank the voice of the Salukis, Mike Reese, for stopping in. Good
thank
stuff
you.
As always. Thank
Boy,
you,
Boy, didn't that go fast.
It always does.
We could have done another hour. There's no
never
show. Let's just do one.
I never shut up.
Well, good stuff, though.
We never shut up either.
Yeah. Fit right in here.
This legal ID is going to cut us off here in about 20 seconds.
Not